Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the next chapter of Widows Ministry Talk Show. I am Mary Hollis, your host, and I'm glad to be here. Only thing, I am a little bit exhausted tonight, so I hope that I can stay awake with you. I had some little problems in the household. Certain things are not working, especially the air conditioning is not working. But God is good. He'll make a way out of nowhere. And I will trust in the Lord with all my heart and my soul. Our scripture reads, honor widows that are widows indeed, coming from 1 Timothy 5:3. Just knowing that your Father loves you and He wants everyone to honor you and your children. Tonight is the last part of the stages of grief, the last stage of grief. We talked about denial. Denial also includes shock, numbness. We talked about anger, bargaining. And I included a sixth one, sadness. And after sadness is depression. And tonight we're going to talk about acceptance. Acceptance. And because we only have 30 minutes, I'm not going to go in over the others. I just wanted to mention the ones that we have gone through. And tonight is the last stage, is acceptance. And this is the final stage of grieving process. Once a person has processed his negative feelings, he needs to fully accept the loss, release his feelings, and forgive anyone who caused the loss. Forgiveness is critical to this process because God commands it. Forgiveness of others, himself, and even God releases the person from the emotional energy associated with the loss and frees him to move on. He must now learn to live in a new environment which lacks the most object, experience, and relationship. As I talked about the big you, how sometimes you can go up, you can be up on the top of things. You got things going on, and all of a sudden something is reminded. You hear a song of your love, your favorite song of your loved one. You smell his or her favorite cologne or perfume. Or the anniversary date, his birthday, her birthday. All of these things will trigger these emotions again, and all of a sudden you can drop right back to the bottom. You were getting better, feeling better, and all of a sudden these reminders, which causes you to go just fall back down to the bottom. But just knowing that you can fall, but you can get up, and you can get up with the strength of the Heavenly Father. And talking about acceptance, once you get to that point of acceptance, you're getting on with life. You reaffirm your reaffirm affirmation of life. A new identity emerges. Hope, meaning you have hope again, you feel good, better. And some of your old patterns becomes new ones. Some of the old patterns can be that you stayed up all night, you didn't go to sleep. You couldn't sleep because of memories and emotions. You didn't, you stopped eating, you ate very little, began to lose weight. Or you ate a lot, and you gained weight. You didn't want to be around others. And now, all of those emotions, all of those negative and old patterns goes away when you have reached that acceptance and forgiveness of God, because most of the time, during the other stages, we're angry with him. We're angry with him because we think that he allowed this to happen and he could stop it. So all of these emotions, up and down, but new ones form, better habits. Telling the story. You are able to tell a story without crying. You tell the story because you want to encourage others. You tell a story because you can actually smile without crying. All of these are acceptance because you can, you feel that you're moving on with your life. You've accepted what has happened, and you know that God loves you, and he wants you to continue to move forward and believe that he will be there for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. All of these feelings. But sometimes as you think that you're strong and you begin to change a new identity, you have hope, meaning, and you can tell those stories, something is reminded and you're knocked right back down again. This is a part of the stages of grief. It is normal, but the importance is that you get back up. You begin to live and want to live. Just remember, if you have children, you have to be strong for those children. You have to help them through their journey of grief as well. So just know that it's important that you want to live again. You want to love again. You want to ask for forgiveness of people that you may have done some, said some things to during your journey. And many times you do get angry with others. You get angry with yourself because you're thinking that you did not do all the things that you could have done for that person. You're angry with God that you're blaming him for so many different things. So the important thing is forgiveness, forgiving those people, forgiving God, and moving forward. So these are all the different stages that we have discussed. And just knowing that these stages are normal ones, like I said, but it's important that you don't stay there. Don't get stuck. The process, the grieving process, usually follows these stages in the order they are listed, but a person may move from stage to stage erratically. There are also many ways the process can be hindered. By understanding the process, it is possible to identify where a person is stuck. Yes, we do get stuck in a place. If a person doesn't become stuck in the process, he can usually begin moving again with the help of others. So, and sometimes we might have to get professional help to help us to move forward, and that is okay. Don't be afraid and ashamed to ask for help and to get professional help if you need help. Now, I shared with you many stories relating to the different stages. Tonight I have another story that I want to read some passage of their story, of one of the widow's stories, that's dealing with acceptance, that the ways that she dealt with accepting it and moving forward. Now, this lady, she's no longer here. Her name is Ann Morris. She passed away in December of 2015 at the age of 94. When we met her at the next chapter, she was 85 years old. She drove a PT Cruiser, and I always, when I saw her coming up to the house in her in that little car, she was so cute because she was short also, and she looked so cute driving that PT Cruiser. And but she had a lot of enthusiasm to go forward in her life, and I'm going to read some of the things that she talked about in her story. Her story was reflection with answers, question and answers. She had there are lots of questions that she talked about in her story, and these were her answers. Who am I? I am an Afro-American woman. What makes me strong? My heritage. What makes me weak? My fears. What makes me whole? My God. What keeps me standing? She said, my faith. What makes me honest is my integrity. What teaches me all lessons? My mistakes. What lifts my head high? My pride. Why can't I go on? It's not an option. So more or less she was saying here, it was not an option for her to stay stuck. She needed to move on. What makes me victorious? My courage to climb. What makes me competent? My competence. And she says, my confidence. What makes me sensible? My insatiable essence. What makes me beautiful? My everything. What makes me a woman? My heart. Who say I love, I need love? She said, I do. What empowers me? She said, me. Who am I? I am an Afro-American woman. She goes on with some more answered questions. Who are you? I am a proud to be an Afro-American woman who is a widow and 91 years old. That's when she wrote the story. I am independent and the mother of one son and four grandchildren, three great-grandchildren, and expecting birth of more great-grandchildren. How were you able to adjust to being a widow? She said, I was blessed and fortunate to have the reality that it had become me instead of we, and the loss was one that I must accept and adjust to. This is moving on, this acceptance. It is easier for me than with some who are left alone. Since my husband, John, was traveling a good bit, he was employed by the Merchant Marine after fulfilling his military service. How did you cope with the loss of your husband? Shortly after my dear husband, John, passed, my attention was diverted from grieving for someone I loved dearly to caring for her two grandchildren. So she diverted herself in loving and taking care of someone else. What about your social life and downtime? How have you dealt with that? And she said, basically, I think the answer is that she kept busy. It helps to focus on what I am doing, I need to do, rather than what I am unable to do. I have found it's rewarding. She loved baking and decorating cakes. She made many for us during the time that she was a part of the ministry. So she kept herself busy and doing things that she loved doing. This helped her to continue to move forward. So find something that is important to you. I want to tell you what I did. When I was married, I always wanted to learn how to do floral arrangements, fresh and silk. So I think it was maybe a couple of years after my husband passed, even though I was still taking care of the little baby, I decided to go and take classes to learn how to put together fresh flowers and silk. So if there is a desire that you always wanted to do, try doing it now. If there's a class that you wanted to take, something that you want to learn, you want to write books. I know one of the widows, she wrote a story, a children's book. So there are many things, I'm sure, that in life that you always wondered if you did, and you didn't do well because you were married. Try thinking about those things and taking an opportunity to do them. And that will fulfill something, a void that you may have right now. So just know that those are some of the things. And I wanted to read her story indicating that what she did to fill her void. And at the end, she said that if there was a question, if you were able to make a one-sentence statement that serves as your path to follow a guiding light in your life, what would that be? Now, even though she's answering this question, you think about it and answer this question also. I would say the golden rule, she indicated, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. That is something that she treasured and believed in. She wanted to make sure that she did do unto others as they would do unto her. So focus on something that could keep you busy and also to focus on something more positive, and instead of memories all the time that will bring you down and feel. It's okay to think about those things, those memories, but sometimes it affects us more for our health than better. So try to think of positive things. If you have grandchildren, they will definitely keep you busy. Definitely keep you busy. So think about those things and try to do your best in taking care of those boys. Now, I indicated to you that I have a few scriptures that I wanted you to focus on when you're going through the journey of grief or storm. And also, I want to make some announcements because, you know, I told you before, there's no show in July. But I'll get to that in just a moment. There's a scripture, Psalms 18:2. If you have a pen and paper handy, I needed to say that at the very beginning. Psalms 18:2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I will take refuge. Yes, let God be that rock that you need to get through this journey of grief. He is definitely a deliverer. And he is your rock, and also he will take refuge and making sure that you get through these different stages. Because he's definitely my redeemer, my good shepherd. He's my Emmanuel. He's my bread of life. He's my King of kings. He's my Lord of lords. And most of all, he's my bright and morning star. Choose who he is to you and let him be that rock, that deliverer, because he will do just that. I love Psalms. I love the scriptures in Psalms. Yes. And another one, the 91st Psalm, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That will help you, lift you up, asking God to give you the strength, and letting, even though that you might, while you're in that, he that dwells in the secret place, while you're in that secret place, you might be sad, lonely, but God will help you, pick you up, and get you going again. I love Psalm 27. The Lord is the light of my salvation, whom shall I fear? When you become fearful, read that scripture. It will give you strength. I also like to praise God and give him recognition and praises. Psalms 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall be continuous in my mouth. There's so many verses. The book of Psalms has so many strengths in it. So there's so many. Lord is the light. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Yes, he is your shepherd. He will, he will do whatever you need for him to do. He might not do it immediately sometimes, but he's right there by yourself, helping you walk through the journey and the stages of grief. So allow him. And I'm sure you have favorite scriptures in the Bible also. But those those verses are strength, are to get you to and from. There's many more in the Bible that you can use, and I'm sure that you have some. And there's another one, Psalms 28:7. The Lord is my strength, my shield from every danger. I trust in him with all my heart. Yes, just knowing that he will protect you from any harm or danger. And in Joshua 1:9, this is a short version. Be strong and courageous. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And also commit to the Lord. Talk to him about whatever you're going through or whatever you need, your desire. And he will be there. Like I said, sometimes you don't get all the answers right away, but he does answer prayer. In his own time, he will get you where you need to be, and he will strengthen you one day at a time. He will place people around you and resources to get you to where you need to go. Be strong in the Lord. Stand on his promises and don't give up. We only have 4 minutes left, so I do want to make some announcements. I hope that you will have a wonderful summer. The next time we meet as far as a group, I hope that you will be a part of it. It is August 17th. As I mentioned, that TGIF restaurant gives back to the community, and they're going to give us a free breakfast. They don't serve breakfast and don't have normally day-to-day operations, but they prepare a huge breakfast for groups that have given back to the community. And we are giving back by embracing widows. And this is going to be August 17th from 8:30 to 11 a.m. We will be the only people in the restaurant other than the servers. And only 25 people can be a part of this. So if you are interested, they only serve up to 25. So if you're interested in being to be present, I am going to, when you get closer to the 1st of August, I do going to need your yes or no whether you're going to be there or not, so I can see how many people, the 25, you know, it's only up to 25 people can be a part of that breakfast. And once again, we will have no shows in the month of July. My church, the Greater Piney Grove Baptist Church, we normally have sabbatical during the month of July, and I've also decided to do the same thing. The other thing is, please, 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 save the date. September 21st, that is our 16th anniversary, and please invite other widows to this event. We will have flyers and more information regarding the speaker and everything regarding the anniversary, and we should have that together for you to get during our breakfast at TGIF. I will, and Sheila will be planning different things in the month of July. We're going to be busy. Even though we're not on the air, we're going to be busy taking care of some things that needed to be taken care of, and so we can go forward and continue to be a better ministry and helping you through your journey of grief. Let me see what else I have down. Okay, one other thing I do want you to do. During our anniversary, I'm not going to give out gift bags this year. I would like for you, as you travel or go to the mall and you go to a Christmas store and thing, I want you to purchase a small book, inspirational book. Doesn't have to be expensive. You can even get out of the dollar store. I saw one in the dollar store one day. So wherever you get it, but I want you to purchase a small inspirational book. We're going to give one to every widow at our anniversary. Instead of giving other little things that we put in the gift bags, we are going to give out books. Books that can be inspired and used. And if that person can't use it, they can give it on to someone else. So that is what I would like for you to do throughout the summer. As you go shopping, traveling, if you see one, pick one up. It's up to you how much you want to spend, but like I say, there's some in the dollar store as well. I need your support on that. And that is all I have. We had a wonderful time at the Biltmore Estate trip. Oh, it was wonderful. We had 40 people on the bus, and we had such a great time. It was wonderful. Seeing that mansion, 250 rooms, 43 bathrooms. Oh, it was just, amazed that the Vanderbilt built that house, that mansion, for him and his wife and daughter and guests. He loved entertaining. So he built it pretty much for his friends. And didn't have a, well, he had other families later on in life. And he didn't, as I was reading this story, he did not live a long time in that mansion. But it's being, I'm glad that they decided to let others see the mansion, because it's a beautiful place to visit. So if you decide to do a trip in Asheville, North Carolina, it's a very historical town. There's so many other places that we went that didn't know nothing about. But there's a lot of money in Asheville, North Carolina. And I hope that you will be a part of our trip next year. And by the end of this summer, you'll know where we're going to be going. We're going to choose a place by then. And thank you so much for listening, calling in. I see a lot of you on the air tonight, and I thank you so much for tuning in and also telling others about the show as well. We'll have something, I'll have some guests coming on as we continue in the early fall to the winter months. And there's other activities that we have that we're going to be doing, and I'll let you know of those things in advance. I love you, and I will enjoy your summer. Please stay busy. When you want to have that quiet moment, yes, definitely have that quiet moment. But stay busy, be positive, and do something for someone else, and that will encourage you to get through with what you're going with, because sometimes we think that what we are going through, when we hear about someone else's, we are blessed, based on what someone else is going through. So just knowing that there are worse situations in life, and you are going to get through this journey. I mean, you will be healed. You will have. You'll be able to talk about your spouse without crying. You'll have a smile on your face, thinking and talking about him, all the good memories. Just focus on those good memories and just knowing that helping another widow is so gratifying and encouraging, and it'll make you feel better. Be blessed and have a great summer. And the next chapter, Sheila and I love you, and we'll talk to you again soon in the month of August. Good night. For favor.
perfect, but I sure been faithful. See, God's got a purpose, yes, and I know He's able. I've got to see in the ground that He's blessing, no more stressing. I've got to see in the ground. Now I'm knowing and it's showing.
Ground.
Come on, open your mouth, say, I've got to see.